WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. That means Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and Happy New Year and Kwanzaa and anything else you're celebrating. Festivus for the rest of us. Luke Jones is going to join us now. We are taking a little respite from the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. If you've been out listening to AM 1570 through the holidays, you'll hear some Crab Cake Tour residue from throughout the 2022 year. We're going to be doing some of our best conversations over the next week, week and a half. But in the meantime, the Ravens have football, Christmas Eve football at 1 o'clock. The Atlanta Falcons in town. I've talked at length about Ghost to the Post here, and certainly that era has harkened back as we awakened on Wednesday morning, a couple days before the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Conception, or reception, not conception. That's the other thing. Reception. Sorry about that. They call it something different in Pittsburgh. We lost Franco Harris on Wednesday, and the Ravens lost Devin Duvernay on Tuesday as well. So Luke is here. We're not going to do a lot of football this week because we did a lot of football over the weekend, but wow, the Ravens are – I'm writing a column about them being under siege. Does that sound – I mean, John looks like he's under siege right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the Ravens collectively are under siege. Certainly Greg Roman's under siege. I think that much is obvious. But I think, yeah, they're trying to put on a happy face. I think they're trying to say all the right things. I mean, as you and I have pointed out, even through all the pessimism and – ugliness of the loss in Cleveland, they're still 9-5. They have 10 different scenarios this weekend that they can clinch a playoff berth.
How many seasons have they been 9-5 in 27 years?
It's been quite often, which is a testament to how good they've been. But at the same time, when you look at how this season is trending, and specifically how the offense is trending, and then Tuesday, which was very odd, was out there, full disclosure, out there for practice viewing, which is typically just special teams. I had taken notice, and other reporters had taken notice, that Duvernay wasn't doing a whole lot. You know, he was kind of just standing behind the other guys getting return reps during kickoff return. And then as the viewing portion was wrapping up, we noticed he was walking inside with a member of the training staff. Now, Ravens reporting policy say that you have to wait until the end of practice. That was kind of the Dennis Pitta rule years ago, that his wife found out on social media that he had hurt his hip. You try not to blow up something like that happens, because sometimes it's as simple as a guy's feeling under the weather, or sometimes guys go in to use the restroom. Like, that's how simple it can be. But he was limping, and it didn't look right. And it was one of those deals where you were keeping an eye on it, and then lo and behold, the Ravens won. They claimed Sammy Watkins off waivers, who was just let go by the Green Bay Packers. And, of course, Sammy Watkins was here a year ago. And two, the Ravens have already put Duvernay on IR. They didn't wait even a couple hours to do that. So really leads you to believe that, one, it's obviously significant enough that he's missing the rest of the regular season. He wouldn't even be eligible until the divisional round now, because you have to miss four games going on IR. But it's just from bad to worse, right? Not that Devin Duvernay was playing lights out here in recent weeks. We've talked about his return game being a little bit off and maybe not being as explosive. So I do wonder, was there an issue and it got worse, you know, during Tuesday's practice? Did it get worse during Saturday's game? But the end result is he's now out of the picture. Sammy Watkins is back in the picture, who wasn't exactly doing a lot for a Green Bay offense that, let's face it, has had its issues at wide receiver this year. So fine with bringing in Watkins, but the upside of this passing game, just, you know, which wasn't great to begin with, loses a little bit more without Devin Duvernay in the picture, who, keep in mind, also carries the ball and returns the ball on special teams. So,
and they don't know who's throwing the football on Saturday, or at least the gamblers don't know yet, right?
Right, right. And you know, that's what was funny. I mean, lost in the big news Tuesday of Duvernay going down, Lamar Jackson's still not practicing. Doesn't mean he's not going to practice this week, but you would think he needs to log at least a couple practices. I mean, this isn't a case where he's going to do Friday's walkthrough and then he plays on Saturday. They need to see where he is with the knee and, you know, if it's holding up okay. Keep in mind, the forecast calls for not just cold, bitterly cold on Saturday, which I'm sure is not going to help attendance whatsoever. But, you know,
maybe I should ask Chad Steele if I can get my tickets back maybe this week. Go sit in the seats and support the team a little bit.
Well, I've seen some of the prices on the secondary market, and it wouldn't take much. It would be a very modest Christmas gift to someone
Give
to.
me 15 degrees when the game starts, right?
Yeah. So I mean, just a lot going on, and hey, they're playing the Atlanta Falcons. It's still a team, whether Lamar Jackson plays or not, a team they should beat. But you kind of consider where they are offensively. You consider the fact that Calais Campbell's not likely to play. Atlanta has a top five running game in the NFL. So without Campbell in the trenches and certainly not knowing what the offensive picture is going to look like, you know, whether Lamar's going to play, how healthy he's going to look, and now Duvernay being out of the picture, certainly. You know, not that we were Ravens fans were in a particularly celebratory mood at the start of the week anyway, but Tuesday's development's not exactly encouraging.
All right, let's break this down for the offense and for what put a little color to this, right? We did an hour, you and I, yelling back and forth about Greg Roman and fire Greg Roman and Tyus Bowser's idiocy on Instagram and blah. We did that the other day, but when they come out to play on Saturday, they're playing this triple A, quad A team here with Atlanta with a good running back, decent running game. Quarterback, second game ever. Like, it's going to be cold as hell. So it's a running game kind of day, right? Both sides are going to try to run the ball. I don't know how important Sammy Watkins is to this, but at least he might know the plays and remember the playbook or whatever. The running game itself, where are you and what you're expecting on Saturday against this Atlanta team? No matter who the quarterback is, whether it's Lamar, whether it's Snoop Huntley at this point, given the weather, given the fact that they can't throw the ball when it's 78 in Miami, like, I'm trying to figure out what they're going to scheme up here and how a Pat Ricard could be more of a part of this, or where they are with Dobbins, or where they would be with Gus Edwards, or where they would be, to your point, we bitched all week about just running the ball 85% of the time because that's what they're going to need to do to win on Saturday. It's not a passing Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, and I really feel like that's what it should be. You know, we talked about this in the aftermath of what happened in Cleveland, and I made mention of this that I really feel like the Ravens offense, whether you're talking about John Harbaugh, Greg Roman, coaching staff, players to a degree, but they're not the ones calling the plays and
Well, the
relaying
wide
the.
receivers would call a pass on every play, so.
Sure, but I think as you look at this offense in its totality right now, I think there's a major struggle between the micro of what you need to do to win that week's game with the macro of understanding the big picture of it's 2022. If you can't have, and this doesn't mean throw it 45 times, but if you can't have a level of proficiency or efficiency, I should say, that they had 2019, even 2020, let's say, throwing the football, which they're way off from where they were even then. And we said it needed to be better back then, that you're not going to go very far in January. However, and this is where we go back to what happened in Cleveland, you still have to recognize the reality of the moment, the present, you know, where you are in the present, of what situation you're in right now, and you say, still need to win the football game. And that's why, to me, it was so maddening with 11 minutes to go on the fourth quarter against Cleveland. They get in the second and four, and then they try to throw three straight times.
With
And
the backup quarterback, the backup receivers, right? All the way around,
exactly.
right?
I mean, it's and I think that's where it's so tough. Yeah, I think there's a you're trying to get better throwing the football because you know in a big picture sense you have to be better throwing the football. But in the same sense, when you're in the here and now and you're playing Cleveland or you're playing Atlanta on Saturday, I think you have to just go with what's going to work. And the reality is, you look at Atlanta from a statistical standpoint, it's not a good run defense. I mean, it's not a good defense in general. But it has not been a good run defense. They are very limited at the quarterback position. I mean, Desmond Ridder, look, he may blossom into a decent NFL quarterback, but he wasn't a first-round pick. Made his first NFL start last week. Was under 100 passing yards, despite throwing it quite a few times against New Orleans. I mean, read the room, right? I mean, we hear terms like that all the time. And Greg Roman needs to read the room this week and understand that even if Lamar does play, is it going to be a fully healthy Lamar? Even if he's fully healthy, is he going to be a sharp Lamar Jackson who has barely practiced over the last 3 weeks and has missed two, you know, basically three full games? So I expect, although I would have said this last week as well, I expect them to run the football and run it a lot. And yeah, you know, you can still mix in some play action here and there. It's not as though you're not going to throw it at all, but you would certainly expect them to try to control this game, whoever's at quarterback, with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards running and running and running some more. So certainly that's what Atlanta's going to try to do. I mean, that's their MO. They're really good running the football, and they're not good throwing it. So I would expect a game that, which I think for anyone who's trying to make it to Christmas Eve service after church or after the game, you're hoping for a shorter game. You're hoping for a clock that keeps moving. And if you're the Ravens, get out ahead, play good defense, run the football, and get out of there in 2 hours and 40 minutes. I mean, I don't think it's more complicated than that. Again, I understand balancing the big picture. I've been saying all year, I don't know if this passing game, even early in the season, even before Rashad Bateman got hurt, I wasn't sure this passing game was going to be good enough to really put them in a position where they can go deep into January. But you also have to recognize where you are. And this is where I'll give you, a call back to history with Brian Billick in 2000. Brian wanted to throw the football. Brian knew that under normal circumstances, you needed to have a more proficient passing game to get deeper into January. But sometimes you have to read the room. Now, this defense isn't historic like the 2000 defense. I think this is a good defense. I'm not ready to call it a great defense.
It might look great against the Falcons if they can stop the run.
It could, right, exactly. But when you're going up against an inferior opponent who, I get it, they're still kind of sort of in the playoff race because everyone is in the NFC South because it's such a terrible division. But I think you have to recognize where you are Saturday. Again, I understand the big picture, but on Saturday, the formula is to run the heck out of the football and play really good defense and bounce back on special teams, even though now you don't have your Pro Bowl return specialist. Although, as we said, Duvernay hadn't really looked like a Pro Bowl return specialist in recent weeks, but that is something else you have to consider. But play good special teams, do those things, get a win, and then turn the page, enjoy the holiday, and then you get ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers next week. I don't think it's much more complicated than that, Nestor, but it hasn't been easy for this football team, even on this stretch of post-bye games that, let's face it, hasn't exactly been a murderer's row of opponents, but we haven't seen the Ravens blowing anyone out at this point. So that formula that I mentioned doesn't mean I think they're going to win by three touchdowns on Saturday either, but I do think that's the most logical, easiest way to victory if you're talking about this Baltimore Ravens team in the current state that it's in.
Luke Jones joins us here. He is Baltimore Luke out on the interwebs. And, of course, you can follow us through the holidays and Christmas and New Year's. We'll be around all week out at BaltimorePositive.com, bringing the Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, doing all the fun things we do. Now into it'll be our 25th year at WNST and 32nd year now for me to be doing radio here. And I don't know that I haven't asked you this before, so this will be a trick question for you. It's 3rd and 7, and you're the Ravens right now. Is that a running down or is that a passing down?
Where am I on the field?
Does it matter if you got to make 7 yards?
Oh, it always matters.
But does it in this offense? Is there ever a pass at 3rd and 7 that's their best option? They're not thinking, well, running it's still our – I guess that's my point. My point is when you say passing the ball and efficiency and where they are, great, run on first down. Throw on first down, incomplete. It's 2nd and 10. You run on 2nd down. You get 3 or 4 yards. Now it's 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7. Manageable, maybe, I don't know, in a normal offense, whatever, but then you come out and you're RPOing again with Lamar because your efficiency at passing in 3rd and 7 is going to get your punter onto the field a lot lately, a lot, the last 6, 8 weeks here, with Lamar, without Lamar, with Ronnie Stanley, without Ronnie Stanley, with J.K. Dobbins, without J.K. Dobbins, with Devin Duvernay, without Devin Duvernay, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. They have to be able to complete that pass, right?
Sure.
And you and I are in agreement that I don't like their odds on third, unless it's going to Mark Andrews and he's triple team.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I mean, you get into 3rd and 7 is considered 3rd and. I mean, it's not 3rd and very long, but it's not 3rd and short either. You're still gonna have to throw the ball some. Let's be very clear about that. Yeah, ideally you can go out there and run it 50 times against Atlanta. And that might work against Atlanta. That's not going to work every single week. You're still going to have to throw the ball some. And, 2019, they had a historic running game. They set an NFL record for rushing yards, and Lamar Jackson led the league in touchdown passes. So it spoke to you need to be able to do both. But I hear what you're saying, and that's why I said, where are you on the field? If you're in 3rd and 7 from, I don't know, the opponent's 42-yard line, then I think that's a situation where you take a chance to run and you can set up either fourth and short for to potentially go for it. Maybe you pop it and you get a first down, or you're setting up an easier field goal for Justin Tucker in that situation. But if you're third and seven on the negative side of the field, you're going to have to throw the – unless you have a play call specifically schemed up against the front that they're giving you on third down situations that you think can gash them, you're still going to be throwing the ball more often than not in that situation. But your point is well taken. And certainly if it's Lamar Jackson out there, feel way better about him than Tyler Huntley. But in the collective production of the offense, or lack thereof, or passing game, I should say, yeah, I mean, I'm not feeling terribly confident anytime they're throwing the football as it stands right now. And now you subtract Devin Duvernay from that picture, and I get it. And I'm, to be clear, I saw a lot of people up in arms about bringing back Sammy Watkins. I mean, they're desperate. What? He knows the offense, at least.
That's the word of the week.
Yeah, they're desperate.
That's what I said. I said to you beginning, they're under siege. When you're under siege, you do desperate things. They're a desperate 9-5 team. It's
crazy, right?
It's crazy. It really is crazy.
Yeah, and they're, by the way, they're a desperate 9-5 football team that I still wholeheartedly believe and am confident they're going to make the playoffs. You know, it would still take a pretty crazy sequence of events here. I'm talking not just them losing, but other teams winning games that you wouldn't expect them to win. So that said, the idea is still to not just get to the playoffs, but want to be able to do something in the playoffs. And that's where, again, that struggle between the here and now, what it takes to beat Atlanta, but also knowing what it takes to give yourself a better chance to win in January. And you just look at the passing game right now. I mean, they need to get Lamar Jackson back on the field first and see what he looks like. It's a non-starter if he's not going to be right. You know, if he's not going to be out there, that's stating the obvious. But yeah, I mean, can Sammy Watkins help them a little bit? I guess maybe. He helped them a little bit last year, but he's a year older and he's had injuries this year. As I mentioned, the Packers offense, they've had their issues at wide receiver and they had no use for him. So what does that kind of tell you about where he is at this point? But hey, beggars can't be choosers. And when you need a wide receiver and someone becomes available that knows your system and knows your offense, you know, it's not worth doing cartwheels over. Let's be clear about that. But I don't see the downside to it. The problem is I just don't see much upside to it either. And that's where this passing game is right now.
If Baker Mayfield can go out and run the Rams on 2 days after getting off the plane,
sure.
Sammy Watkins, he can catch two or three balls this week on 23.
All right. Well, and it's funny. I was talking with some other local media members after the waiver claim was made and it was official, and someone made mention of, is he going to play Saturday? I said, why not? I mean, first of all, the Baker Mayfield thing, I mean, we mentioned it in passing, and I know you're not a big Baker Mayfield guy. And look, I mean, it is what it is at this point. He's on his third team now.
Oh, I'm not a hater. I'm not a believer.
Well, sure. And I'm not even talking in those terms. But what he did and what Sean McVay and the Rams did 2 weeks ago to get him ready in less than 48 hours was extraordinary. And shame on the Raiders also. Did they play the Raiders that night?
It was the Raiders, I believe. Yeah.
Just incredible. But with that in mind, why can't Sammy Watkins be ready on Saturday? Now, doesn't mean I think he's going to do much. I'm not predicting any of their receivers to do much because it's just where their passing game is right now. But you know, they needed a warm body because Duvernay was playing a ton. So now you're down to what's ironic is your most established wide receivers now are DeMarcus Robinson and Sammy Watkins. Hey, the Ravens have the complimentary wide receivers of the Super Bowl 2019 Kansas City Chiefs. There you go. Problem solved, right?
It'll be 23 in about 10 days now at this point. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. He will be covering all things Ravens and monitoring all of John Harbaugh's lies and misdemeanors and evasive answers to all things as to whether Lamar Jackson will play. Hey, tickets, I'm looking on StubHub right now, $12. So if you want to go Saturday, just go head out, $12. It's going to be about 12 degrees. $1 a degree. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, brutal. Brutal. I'm thinking, what, the 2017 finale, the Tyler Boyd game. Remember, that was a game, it was a late afternoon kick. It was New Year's Eve. It was bitterly cold that day. This game's going to be along those lines. It'll be played in daylight, which will help a little bit, but boy, it's going to be cold the way sounds like all these
I
East
did my
Coast games.
26 years in
Whew.
snow, in rain, in the upper deck with parkas on. My wife screaming and couldn't speak on Monday. I've done all that. I'll be watching with some special hot chocolate from our friends at Drug City in my Cole Roofing mug. We're going to be around all week here at Baltimore Positive, presenting some of our greatest hits, some of the best of, some Crab Cake Tour stuff from this year, some intelligent conversations, some wise conversations coming your way for the holidays. Remind everybody, use those reward points at Wise if you're out getting a ham. Take care of each other out there. Take care of your families. Deacon Jones, Uncle Luke will be spending his Christmas Eve down at the Atlanta Stadium. We will be out on Twitter when they allow us on Saturday and through this and back after it next week on Monday as the man who saved my wife's life is in from Germany. So we're going to have a little family holiday here, introduce him to some proper Ostrowski kielbasa and sauerkraut from Wise Markets as well on Christmas Day. Luke, I hope you have a great holiday with you and your family. I hope the Ravens are representative against the Atlanta Falcons on the Saturday. And it is an interesting weekend, right? I mean, a lot of football being played on Christmas Day. I know you spend Christmas Day with your family. It's a high holy holiday for you. Miami, LA, Arizona, they're playing football all day on Sunday. They're playing basketball all day on Sunday as well. So there'll be no lack of sports for us to talk about come next week.
No question, and I'll enjoy the family time. But I'm sure I will, whether it's the Sixers or NFL, it'll be on in the background at least part of the day. At least when the rest of the family isn't requesting to watch a Christmas movie. But Merry Christmas to you as well. I hope you guys enjoy the holiday.
Piss John Harbaugh off for the holidays. Ask him a real question on my behalf on Saturday, okay? Especially if
Sounds
they
good.
lose. They better not lose. Luke Jones is here. I am here. We are together at BaltimorePositive.com. Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill and Window Nation. Coming your way in 2023. I might even be doing an oyster tour before it's all over. They're trying to talk me into it. I like crabs more than oysters. I've come to that conclusion. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore Positive.